I'm Morgan.
I'm Odette.
And I'm Madeline.
And we love Christian fiction.
We love it so much that we wanted to talk about it on a podcast.
Each episode, we will read classics of the genre or new releases.
And discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly. So come join us.
Well, hello, listeners.
Hello.
We're so glad you joined us for another episode of Redeeming Lit Podcast. And I have to say, while we love book episodes, I think some of our favorite episodes are author interviews. And so tonight, or today, I should say, I always say tonight because that's when we record. But for most listeners, they probably listen during the day. So
probably.
Today, Morgan, who are we talking to today?
I'm so excited. We have today on the podcast, Marianne Landers. And Marianne got connected to us through our connection with Sarah Blackard. Marianne also lives in Alaska and is a writer. And we're so excited that she's here on the podcast with us today. Thank you, Marianne, and welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Well, there's three of us all in the same town. So it's Sarah and Jody Basie as well. I believe you guys just did an interview with her. So yeah, it's the three of us. Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Which is crazy because from like the little bit that we've heard about the, it's a very small town. In Alaska, it's not one of the major cities. And there's three authors who are writing Christian fiction. And I think that's so cool.
Well, Sarah just kind of paved the way for the rest of us. So she started and, you know, she was, I don't even know how many books she had at the time when Jody and I were talking to her about it. And it's like, oh yeah, you guys can publish this. No problem. Just do this, this, and this. And we started to believe her. And so then kind of jumped on the bandwagon and she just really helped out a lot because she'd already had done, you know, self-published numerous books. So it was a huge help. I'm not sure I really would have dove in if I didn't have her encouragement along the way. So it's really both of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's just like God when like this dream inside you, like he's going to give you community who's going to support and rally and help you kind of achieve that dream, which is so beautiful. And listeners, one non-exciting thing is Madeline is not feeling well today. So she will not be on the podcast, but send your thoughts and prayers to her when you hear this. I'm sure she'll be better by the time that this comes out. But currently, while we're recording, she is not feeling the best. So. But Morgan and I are here, don't you worry, and we have all the questions written down, and Madeline also gave her thoughts on the questions earlier, so we feel like she's here, you know?
Yes, she's here in spirit, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, are we ready to dive in?
I think we are ready to dive in.
Let's do it. Okay, Marianne, first question, I have some writing questions for you first.
Okay.
What inspires your characters and your stories?
Okay, I'm just going to rewind a little bit and have a little Sarah story there because what inspired it was the very beginnings of it. So first of all, I'm not from Alaska. I'm from Canada, actually, which is drastically different as far as setting is concerned, but I did grow up in a city. So I came to Alaska in 99 to volunteer my time at a Christian medical center for 3 months. And so when I came and volunteered my time there, I met my husband. And so this was supposed to be one stop of many, but I'm still here. And so then fast forward 20 years later, we were out hunting as a family. And I was like, okay, listen, guys, this is my year to shoot a big game animal. I've never shot one before. And so I want to shoot the family's moose this year. So we were out hunting and I shot it and I actually like hit the moose. I couldn't believe it. I was so excited and my chest all puffed out. And I was like, look what I did. And then I looked around me and I'm like, yeah, well, you know what? So is everybody else around here. Jody's already shot a moose. Jody's already shot two like bears out hunting with her husband and who knows what else. I mean, she's just like the huntress extraordinaire. And so I'm just like, the women around here are extraordinary. The things that are like just everyday happenstance, our lives are just, they're usual for here, but not other places. And I was talking to Sarah about it and just saying, people have so many amazing stories to share. So-and-so should write a book and so-and-so should write a book. And I've asked them and they're like, no, people have to die before I could share their story, before I could share my story. And she said, you can write their stories. I said, no, I can't. It's not mine. She goes, yeah, it is. You just fictionalize it and it's all yours. You should do it. And so that's what I mean by like her paving the way is that she goes, you can do this and I'll help you and let's get together and let's talk more about it. And so that all of my stories are inspired by true stories. So I thought, where did my story really begin? It started with my mother-in-law and how the whole family came up here to Alaska. They were just recently saved of Christians and just kind of looking for a new beginning. Sorry, I got that cold too that I've had for a couple weeks. And so that's the first story, is fictionalized the story of their family transitioning here to Alaska. And then the second book is a fictionalized story of mine. It's called Alaska Calling, of my coming up to Alaska, being a husband, and how God worked that all out. And so the inspiration is based on real life and people that I know.
That's so cool. I absolutely love that because, right, I don't live in Alaska, but I would tend to agree, like, the things that you see, especially when you live in not, like, one of the main cities, you live in, like, rural Alaska, like, life is different than someone who very much lives in the downtown of a city in central Pennsylvania. But that's just like every day for people because you get acclimated to it. And so that's so cool. I love the idea of telling real people's stories. And also, like, how it's so much fun to read a book just in general as a reader. And I read a book and then you're like, oh, this is based on someone's actual life. Somebody actually went through this. I'm like, what? I need to go back and read it again and pay more attention. Like, this is a real person. Like, that's so cool. So I love that you did that.
But it's also everyday experiences and emotions that resonate with readers. The hardships are still straight across the board of things that we think through or we're challenged by. And then just the whole Alaskan setting, I just hope, is something that inspires people. And I try to give readers a little taste of rural Alaska, rustic Alaska, because as you said, it's a little bit different than the big city. And so there's adventure, but there's also spiritual encouragement along the way, because that's what it's all about.
That's awesome. Oh, love it.
So since your stories are based on true stories that are fictionalized, what does your writing process look like and how much research then is involved?
So I start my writing process with interviewing the person who I'm going to be writing about. And so we usually meet for coffee or have several conversations. And I have a few questions that they go through just to help me get a sense of what more of like the theme is of their story, or including, certain scenes of different experiences that they had, have them help me with a timeline of different events. And then from that, I develop my storyline. Usually as they talk, you can get a real sense of what the theme of the story is also going to be and what the characters' character arc is going to incorporate as well. So it involves interviewing, several conversations along the way, and then I'm sort of a plotter. I try to at least get the main like parts and pieces of the book and kind of fill them in along the way, just trying to hit certain markers along the way, like at your 25%, your 50%, watching my word count, and then where I want my character to be in the middle of the story and different things like that.
Okay. So this question is not on our list, but now I'm curious. So when you are talking and interviewing for the individual who you want to kind of base your story on, do you have like conversations about what they're willing to have you even fictionalize or what they're comfortable with, or like, and how do you determine, like, not that it's a formula, but is it like 60% real and 40% fictionalized, or does it depend on the situation? And sorry, that was a lot of questions, but my mind is swirling with how cool this would be to like write a story about someone that I know and make it kind of its own fictional, you know, component. So
I have their permission at the very beginning, whether they're okay with it or not. And like my husband would say that the only part of that's fiction in the book about me is that when we got done with our first date, I wrote in the book that I opened my door and got in. He goes, I opened the door for you. He goes, you are writing fiction in this nonfiction book.
So that's, you like said, that was that. Book, that was book two.
That Your was story book, is two.
Book two. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
So in the first, most of them are, I mean, obviously I don't know all the conversations that people had. So let's maybe to start with book one. So book one, with it being my mother-in-law's story, I would share with her different parts and pieces of it as I was going along. And I was like, is it okay if I kind of portray this or that? And there was a couple times where she said, you know, this sentence that you used, I didn't quite like the way that that maybe took the reader's mind, because that wasn't something that was necessarily true about me. I wasn't rebellious in that area of my life. So if you could please reword that. So did that. And then there is the part that's the climatic part of that book that I truly made up. And so she loves when people ask her, did you really do such and such? And she's like, no, I did. They're like, well, I believe that you did. So there's that. Then mine is pretty much, you know, is pretty much life, you know, changed names and a few things here and there. And then for Alaska Chance, it's a lady that goes to my church. I did move her timeline because she had moved like a million times and I could not have her character just jumping all over the place. I really needed to bring some closure to the story. So I narrowed her experiences, and there was a good chunk of things that were kind of missed out to formulate the timeline, and brought her, her climatic event is also fictionalized as well. So, and then for book four, it's all taken from her experiences as best that I could, is taking different, you know, details and adding them to the story. Like, for example, in book four, she lives on a fishing vessel in Southeast Alaska, her family, her and her five kids. So trying to imagine this, and I'm like, can you draw me a picture of what this boat looked like? And like, where are the rooms and where do you guys go? And she goes, we have like a quote unquote living room that was like in the basement, and our bedroom. She goes, oh, I don't even want to talk about our bedroom. She goes, we slept in a twin size bed. I'm like, no, don't even tell me that that's true. I don't want like that.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And so, and they're still saying beautifully, you know, beautiful women who've like come through these things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, it's so amazing. She goes, no, by the grace of God that he took us through these challenging times. Because for her, her book is, she wanted to escape the reality that she was in. She wasn't comfortable with where she was at and what God was asking her to do during that season. And so how she, you know, came through that. So, you know, she was describing times where the boat was going through the ice and they're, it just, it's incredible, really. So, and then for the, I wrote a new series, it's called Hope of His Calling series. And in that one, I have completely removed the protagonist from where the story took place to a whole different place. And so that one is more recreated story and timeline, more so than the Alaskan Women of Caliber series.
Interesting. So, and that's your newest.
Yes.
Correct? Your most recent release. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of, and do you have several stories that you're planning out for that one, or is this kind of a one-off that you're like, this is the story, this is how it's going to tell, and we'll see what happens?
I don't know. What happened? I didn't do a new series on purpose. The new series happened because as I was writing it, I was like, most of those books are, I guess you have to be considered historical, because they happened like in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And then this book took place during 2010. So it's considered contemporary. And so with it being more recent, and it takes place more, not as rural. All the other books are rural Alaska. This one takes place in a city. I thought this just has just a different beat to it, different just different challenges. It's still very Alaskan. You still hopefully get a very good sense of the world that's created for you that's there. So that's why that's different. So I do plan to write more books in both series at some point.
Gotcha. Well, that makes sense. I like that. So you talked a little bit about how you got your start. Did you always want to be a writer? Just like in the back of your brain? Or is that something that was a more recently acquired passion?
I've kind of gone all over the place. When I was a kid, I really enjoyed writing. Like, I remember in fifth grade, we had like a creative writing time. I loved writing stories. And I was the girl in the class who would write really long ones, and the teacher would have a time set aside to listen to the stories. And then in junior high, I had a teacher tell me that she expected me to be a writer one day, but it wasn't necessarily a passion of mine. As I got into high school and college, I studied to be a nurse, and my mind was like more scientific that way. But I've always enjoyed being creative, and I just find it so satisfying to create a story and just bring it all together. It's just been really, it wasn't something I was looking to do. It just kind of happened, and I'm so happy that it did. And it gave me something in this season of my life, because know, when your kids get a little bit older, like I have a 20-year-old, an almost 18-year-old, and almost 17-year-old, but I'm still present at home, but they don't need me in the same way as like your younger kids need you, but I'm still here. So something that I can be working on and doing and still be here for them. So it's been a good fit.
That's awesome. I love that. And I think, I also think it's so interesting to me because whether, I think so often whether someone, we've talked to so many people and it's like, some people are like, oh yes, I've always like loved writing. I knew I wanted to be a writer. Some people are like, oh, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Or some people were like, really, I had no interest in it. But I do think one of the common themes you see is there was always a teacher somewhere along the road that was kind of like, you're really good at this. You should do this. And mm-hmm. I just always, in my brain, I'm just always like, those teachers, like, God bless those teachers who are speaking out truth into kids' lives and actually seeing, seeing the potential and talent, even if the person doesn't necessarily feel it themselves yet. But there's those teachers who are encouraging, just always gives me hope because there's great and amazing teachers out there. And I think that's awesome.
Well, and like what, you know, what Sarah and Jody provided too, is just information about how to write, that there's so many helpful resources out there for writing, for doing your plotting, planning your characters, looking at like an emotional thesaurus through One Stop for Writers. Like it's just endless ways of helping with the creative and the writing process. It's just to see that it's doable. You're not just going to sit down and create this really long Word document. You know, it's going to be organized. And so, yeah, it's been good to have, you know, people right there next to you to encourage you and help you.
Yes, absolutely. Got to have those writer friend, that writer community. And it's helpful mm-hmm. that they're in person too. I think that like,
yeah,
like yeah. sit with someone and like just brainstorm, I think has to be so, so helpful for sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we're moving on to the Alaska-based questions. And you kind of already covered our first one. But the second one here that we have is, what are some stereotypes that are true or not true about Alaska?
It's not always dark and cold here is the first one that I think of. Because we were just recently traveled out of state and it was in February. And most people are like, oh, is it so cold and dark? I'm like, no, it's not dark. Like right now in April, we have well over 12 hours of daylight. We're going to surpass almost everybody else for months on end. So no, it's not that. I don't live where there's igloos or dog sleds. there aren't those type of things. What is true is we do have like, it all depends what part of the state you live in. Alaska used to have three time zones. It's huge. It's very, very wide, not just tall, but wide. So it's massive. So it all depends where you live, what different things are more pertinent for your seasons. And like when we lived in Southeast Alaska, which is just south of Juneau, it's between Juneau and Ketchikan along the coast of Canada. And it was a very, like, it was a nautical, like right on the ocean. And so mm-hmm. it's a marine environment and it's nothing like it is here. Here I'm in like an Arctic climatic zone. It's really dry. It's almost like a desert. We don't get a lot of precipitation. So there's not like big, huge wind, ice storms. It gets cold and it stays cold. So in October, the temperature will fall below zero. And it won't get It won't get above 32 Fahrenheit until melting outside. So you will have that season of winter. So the snow comes and the snow stays. And I think more than anything, what I love about Alaska is there's so much community. I think you hear that me saying that and talking about Sarah and Jody is that many people who live in Alaska don't live close to their families. They've come here at one point or another, whether it was for work or for adventure, and they end up staying. And your church family becomes your family. The area that you live in, the town, people are very friendly. And it's like how the world used to be like 50, 100 mm-hmm. years ago. You know, our entertainment in the winter is spending time with one another. You live your lives alongside each other. And that's what I really love about here. And I found that true about every part of the state that I've lived in.
I love that. That is, again, all of the, just like my totally fangirling, but all of the things, like anytime I hear anyone talk about it, like everyone says that, like where it's like, this is like, we're like a community. It's a family here. I think that's so cool. I love it. Just a little bunny trail off of what you said. When my husband and I were first talking about, because he's very like, I'm super like, I really want to do this. And he's gung ho. We're both from Texas. Okay. Like we were both born and raised in Texas, him even longer raised than I am. But so both of us love, the idea, you know, like wide open spaces and a little bit more freedom, like that kind of thing. Like that's very near and dear to our hearts. But we like the idea of someplace different. And so he's very gung-ho about Alaska. But I was like proposing all these ideas. I was like, we could live here. We could live here. And for the longest time he worked, he doesn't anymore, but for the longest time he worked for the post office, for the United States post office. And so with the post office, you can transfer anywhere. Like you put, it's pretty cool. Like you literally can put out transfer requests to anywhere in the US that you want. And people will like reach back out to you and like, hey, you know what? We have an opening here. Come on. And you can go anywhere, which is how we've moved around several times during our married life. But one of the things we were talking about, I was like, oh, you should send out some requests to Alaska. And he's like, okay, I can do that. And I was like, and we were talking about some parts. He goes, Morgan, I'm not sending out a request there. I was like, why? I don't remember what the city was. I was like, why? It sounds like we should do it. And he was like, they deliver mail via dog sled up there. Like, for real. And I go, well, you like dogs? And he's like, I don't like delivering mail all day via dogs. No, I'm not doing it.
Well, there is a town just north of us, and the town's name is Chicken. There's not very many people that live in Chicken. The people in Chicken don't want you to really know how many people live there, but they get their mail by an airplane. The mail delivery goes twice a week, and the airplane, I'm not sure if it goes twice a week and continues further even north up to Eagle, but they deliver the mail to some remote places via airplane. So maybe he wants to be the airplane guy, but no, the pilots deliver the mail. He would be here in town sorting it, and he would be in a heated building. It would be okay.
So funny thing about Chicken. So we recorded and shared. We released it. No, we didn't.
No, we haven't released it yet.
We just recorded. Sorry, I was like, our timelines of when we record versus what we release are always different. But we literally just read we released the Jody. No, that it was the Sarah
it was
Black.
Sarah.
It was Sarah's. Okay. We just released a Jody episode, but it was for Sarah. Sorry. We love them both. But in that episode, the one character was from Chicken. And so I like did all this research on it. And it was funny because like, according to the internet, which like can't cite all the sources that are correct, but according to the internet, there is a population of 12 in Chicken.
Well, but that was like a few years ago.
Yeah. In 2010 when they did the last, or 2020 when they did the last census. So.
It all depends when they were there, because when it's caribou hunting season, the place is flooded with hunters. There's people all over the place. But in the wintertime, so the amount of people who live there year round is a little less than that. But then there's people who get their mail. Like I was telling, I was on an interview earlier today, just talking to a lady about another story that I'd like to write. There's a lady and her husband that live between Chicken and Eagle. Like the only people that live there in between that space or at the bottom of this big huge ravine, and in the wintertime they're snowed in. They don't plow that road because nobody's really driving on it, and so it's cleared out now, but they will get on their snow machine and or snowmobile, whatever you want to call it, and go to Chicken to get their mail. That's how they get it, and that's what they have to do for the winter, or unless somebody's going through, like if somebody happens to be, they keep in communication with each other if someone happens to be passing by for whatever reason, which nobody does, they'll drop it off.
Sure.
That feels so reminiscent of how life was like 100 years ago, because we've read a lot of historical books where it was like, hey, like you're gonna walk into you know what I'm saying, or maybe even less than 100 years ago, like 1800s this point, now it's 2024, but it was like the idea, like you would like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take this parcel of mail, you know, along the way to town, you know, as I go there. So it's fascinating that that's just how life is in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Well, a few places, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. Clearly not every place is that remote. Okay. So what is something that you think people should know about Alaska based on your experience if they're visiting?
If they're visiting, I guess it all depends what you want to do, what you want to see, because there's the interior of Alaska and then there's south East Alaska. So Southeast is like runs along the coast there. So that would be like Juneau and Ketchikan and Sitka. If you're going to do a cruise to Alaska, that's probably what you're going to see. You're going to see the Inside Passage. It's beautiful. We live down there. Gorgeous. I would even recommend that if that was the area you wanted to see, say you fly into Juneau, get on the ferry. The ferry is cheap. It's a boat still. So you can enjoy riding on a boat with your kids. You can play cards in the cafeteria area. You can see whales in the water. You'll see not exactly dolphins, that are relatives of the dolphins, you know, in the water. You'll see a ton of wildlife. You could even like rent a bike in the different towns that they stop in and bike around the small towns and check things out if that's what you were looking for. But if you want to see like the big mountains and see Denali and see more of the main part of Alaska, I would suggest like fly into Anchorage and take the train to Seward. And then when you're on the train again, you can just sit, you don't have to worry about renting a car and driving, the stress of, you know, that part of it. Get on the train, take the train to Seward. In Seward, they have a beautiful sea life center you could explore with your kids. You could go, you can go like sea kayaking down there. You can go on day cruises where they take you out and show you glaciers or take you places where you can go on a salmon feed. We've done different field trips where we've done that with the kids before. Our school district took us down to Seward, took us to Valdez where the kids did sea kayaking. So it's kind of have to pick and choose if you're wanting family friendly stuff, if you want to relax on a train, or if you wanted to rent a car. You could get in your car and you could drive hundreds of miles all over the place. You could camp, you can fish, you can just explore. There's glaciers to see. There's always wildlife on the road, it seems like. Lots of great campgrounds. It just all depends what you want to do. Like there's people who come up here on their motorcycles and they like bike all over the state. We have people try almost everything. So it just all depends what your preference is.
Oh my gosh. I feel like you could literally have an ad for Visit Alaska. Oh. That was incredible. I'm like, oh my God.
Bold. If you drive to Alaska, my town will be the first town you come to. We're 90 miles from the border. So you have to come through Tokes. When people are coming and going, this is where they land and they sit down and they go to the visitor center and they figure out, what do we want to do while we're here? And kind of, they haven't already planned it out. This is where they maybe do it and figure out, you want to go up to Fairbanks or you want to go south down towards Anchorage? So lots to do.
Wow. I feel like Morgan's mind is swirling with possibilities.
It's a little boy's paradise. It really is. It's a big boy's paradise too. You know, and if you love the outdoors, like snow machining, four-wheeling, for us, it's out our back door because of where we live. You know, it just all depends what part of the state you live in. But if you would live in a rural place, those are things you enjoy. They're part of your recreation or they're part of your daily living. Because some communities, some of the rural communities that you fly out to, people don't have cars. They use their four wheelers to get around because there's no need to have a vehicle. So yeah. I personally don't want to live quite that remote, maybe for a very short season of time, but...
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that would be my husband's dream. I think I would want need to be slightly closer to where I could interact with more people, at least with some frequency. Right. My husband's a big outdoor guy though. So he'd be like, let's go to the middle of nowhere. Okay.
Yeah. My husband's a pilot. So we have a plane. So he loves to fly and go explore that way. And yeah, so that has been his dream. So
that's awesome. Oh, I love it. Once we're out of the baby having phase of our life, that's the next goal. We're gonna have all of the babies we're gonna have, and then the next goal is, okay, how are we getting to Alaska? My parents and my sister Madeline we've been talking about this for so long. They're all just like, okay, well, they're actually going to be doing it at some point, so we have to accept it. Everybody was very like, hey, where, surely you don't want to go that far away, and now we haven't changed our tune in.
Then they can come visit you. But you know, exactly. Last week they did do some dog races here in town last week. That is an annual event that they have here, well, in different parts of Alaska too. And so yeah, that'd be a fun thing. If people wanted to come in the winter, you could always come watch dog sled races.
Exactly. That would be so much fun. I love it. I'm sold. I was already sold. I was sold before I came on, but I'm sold,
sold for years. I did tell her though, I was like, Morgan, I'll come visit you. Cause when they lived in Texas, I would go visit. But when they were in Alaska, I was like, just please be real. If I need to take a plane to a boat to another plane to a train, do it. Like, please tell me all the modes of transportation that I will realistically need, because mentally I need to prepare for that.
Right.
That's like, fair. I'll do it. But also, I'm going to come for a while because I'm not going to make that trip for a long weekend. So,
yeah, of course.
You have it to takes a couple days to get there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Okay. So I feel like we could just go on and on about Alaska. I'm so fascinated by that. But I think we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about kind of some faith-based questions. So sure. I know that you've kind of talked about how you've been inspired by women that you know their story about, you know, and I'm sure that you've seen God in different ways in their lives. But has your own faith journey been kind of inspired through your writing and the characters and the stories that you've heard?
Absolutely. I am pathetic because when I read my own books, I cry at the end. I'm so happy for my characters.
That is not pathetic.
I'm so happy for them. I'm like, oh, they did it. I'm so happy that this worked out for them. It just comes to life. You just can't put words to it. Absolutely. It really does. Just the whole process of writing is really a faith journey too, because there's so much prayer involved, thinking through the character, the story, what you want the character to accomplish. Is it coming from the right angle? God, what do you want for this? What is your message that you want for readers? What's going to resonate with them? What can they take away from it? How can people share the books? And so, yeah, there's a lot involved. And then depending on what the theme of the book is, there's some research involved in that too, whether it's how different personalities respond to different things as well. And so what that would look for them as they mature in their faith through different things. And so, yeah, absolutely. It is impactful every time.
Yeah. And that, I mean, right. Like even just the process of putting a story down and seeing it from start to finish and journeying with the characters. And then, as you said, there's double the fact that it's real people's stories. And like, so you have those, like, you know, the people who went through them yourself, all of that stuff. So then it's like, you can see the end result even further than is on the page, and you see God's goodness all throughout. And I think that that's gotta be impactful for sure.
Can I say one thing about
that? Oh, yeah, of course.
I think it's interesting that you said, oh, I'm pathetic. I cry at my own books. But I think that there's something that, regardless of whether you know the outcome, like how often do we, even if it's a book that we've read a million times, but there's something about the redemption in it that causes, you know, the tears, or if it's a movie or something like that. So part of me thinks that even though you know that story and you have such an intimate connection as the writer, that like, is that honestly a picture of God? Because I feel like there's probably things that like he knows the beginning and the end of all of our stories, but yet I still know that he's moved. Do you know what I'm saying? By choices that we make and watching stories play out. So I wonder if it's actually more like, it's also like rejoicing in the fact that you got to share this story with the world and kind of treasuring that is like probably part of your, that would at least be me. The emotional side of that is like, to do that.
Yeah, that's actually how that's how the latest story came to be. So I was on an interview for a podcast or a blog or something. I don't remember what platform he put it on. And we were talking about, he was saying, like, do you feel closer to God because of where you live? And I said, you know, I don't think it really matters where we live, how we feel close to God, because I said, for example, at one point I was reaching out to this gal who wasn't a believer, and I was telling her how in her troubles, she could just say the name of Jesus. I said, you can just say his name. Like, it says his name is a strong and mighty tower. Can you picture yourself being there with those strong walls around you and find comfort in that? And he was like, yeah. And he said, that's really interesting. And so later that day, I was on Facebook, and that gal that I'm talking about, so she'd gotten saved and things had radically changed in her life. And she was on Facebook and talking about how that afternoon, she had been exercising and she'd been downstairs and she was listening to some praise music. And she said, all of a sudden, her memories kind of washed over her of where she'd come and where she had been. She said, I just started sobbing. She said, I've never experienced anything like this before. I was just so overcome with the emotion of how God has just been so good to me. She said, my husband and my kids came downstairs. They're like, what's wrong? She's like, no, I'm happy. I'm happy. I just can't believe how good God is. And I said, wow. I said, that is so cool. I said, because I was talking about you today on this podcast about how I had, you know, just had shared that with you. And that's neat that you shared that story today. I said, it's interesting though, but the times don't match up for, you know, the time zone. She goes, well, I don't live in Alaska anymore. I live over in Illinois. The time that I was speaking about her was the time that she had that experience. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
God was rejoicing over you. Yes. He was rejoicing over you as his daughter. It was just amazing. And I was telling another friend that the two of us had kind of been in her life together during that time. And she said, why don't you consider doing her story? Wouldn't that be one of your books? And I was like, oh, and I kind of put that on the back burner. And so that is the new release, which is called Call to Embrace. And it's her story. And she was going through, I was introduced to her with another friend. She said, can you help me reaching out to her? My other friend had 7 kids. Her life was busy. She said, but I know you have a heart to help too. Can you help me reach out to this gal? She's recently separated from her husband. She's got 2 little girls. She's pregnant with somebody else's baby. She wants to have an abortion. I'm like, oh, whoa. Okay. So just spending time with her and trying to help her out. And so that took the story though to a completely different location in the book and walk through her redemption story and all that she went through and what God did in her life. So what you were just talking about is, I don't know, like, God, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with her story? Because it is so powerful, because that's exactly what it is. And I believe he does rejoice over these stories. Mm-hmm. He rejoices over, because it's a testimony is what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to share, are people's testimonies of how God has challenged them in whether it's challenging circumstances or a challenging environment. And that really, we all have a story to share. Every single one of us, really. It's just seeing the story unfold, because we experience conflict, and then in that conflict, how to react, and then how God intervenes and then carries us through. We can all probably sit down and write several stories about our own lives.
I love that. Yes, it's so good. Won't he do it? He's amazing. And I love, like, it's a testimony. That's the perfect way to phrase it, because just being like, let me show you, let me tell you about the goodness of God in my life. Let me tell you about the goodness of God in this person's life, in this person's life. And then that's just inspiring other people to be like, okay, look at this. You know what? God's been good in my life too. Yeah. Let me go back and look, and let me share my testimony. And so then it's just like this beautiful, what's the word? You know, blah, blah, blah. It's I keep wanting to say spin ball. That's
swirl.
Wrong. No, swirl? You know, when something, it's rolling down a hill and it's picking up snow and then the ball's bigger.
Snowball.
The snowball effect. It is a snowball. Wow. The fact that I couldn't think of the word snowball is really interesting, but it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to blame all my young children for that one, but it's
perfect. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. But I'm going to blame them anyways. But I love that.
I was going to say, when you were talking about kind of that time thing, I was reminded of this story. This has not happened to me, but this was someone that I know. I haven't talked to her in years, but she said this story that like blew my mind. So she knew this guy and, you know, it was one of those things that he professed feelings. She was like, no, thanks. Anyways, long story short, she moved to the East Coast and he was on the West Coast. And she like literally still, like, she felt that there was a connection. She was like, I don't know what this is, because she wasn't like into him. Anyways, long story short, she felt one night she like got woken up and she felt really compelled to like specifically pray for him. And she was like, this is crazy, like, what am I doing? And she was like, it was so intense, she was like, I couldn't not pray for him. So she found out later when they started dating, because like they met up again and it ended up being great story, that he was literally on a beach in Mexico trying to drink himself like into the end at that same time. And it was like, she felt so compelled to like pray for her future husband, which, like, I don't know that she fully thought it was him, but she was like, in this moment, I'm feeling really, really compelled. And, you know, they have a couple of kids now and are really happy. And so it's one of those things when she tells that you get chills because you're like, that's how good God is, that, like, in that moment, the person who he knows is listening and has an ear for something like that. And it's just like one of those things, because it was literally at the same time. And she was like, when he told me that when we were dating, I freaked out. I was like, wait, when was the
yeah, wow.
He literally, like, felt compelled, and he put the bottle down and, like, returned to cry, you know. And it just was like, oh my god.
That's yes. Bonkers.
Yeah, yes.
That's wow. The God that we serve.
I know,
yeah. That's the God that we serve. Mm-hmm. Yep. Time and again, you hear these stories, and it always baffles me. And of course, whatever, like, it is my faith, and I was raised in the church, and so of course it baffles me. But anytime anyone's like, I just don't believe, and I'm just like, have you heard some of the stuff? Have you seen? Just look around. How could you not believe? Like, what? Look at all the stuff he does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Oh, so true. I love it. Well, moving on from the preaching portion of the podcast. That was great. I'm feeling stirred up in my spirit now, honestly. I love this. We're moving on to our fun question section, but I've been having a lot of fun this whole time, so that's perhaps a bit of a misnomer. But if you could have dinner with any fictional character or characters, who would it be? We usually say besides your own, but your characters aren't totally fictional. They're based on real people, so I don't know if that applies.
Well, but the whole purpose is that they're not
someone you've written.
Yes, exactly. Yes, correct.
I don't know. You mean from my books or from somebody else's?
No, from book? Someone else. From someone else's.
Any book. Fictional character.
Any fictional. Oh, character. Not from your books.
I don't remember the character's name, but Tessa Afshar, her biblical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get enough of her stories, so she takes you right in. So it would be. I think it's Lydia. She does a story about Lydia in the Bible. I don't know. I can't remember the exact book that it was. I'm horrible at remembering the names of books. I'm terrible, terrible, terrible. But there was one where this character, she just kept having, no, maybe it wasn't Lydia. It was the woman who had, she was bleeding.
Oh. The woman with the issue of blood.
Yes. That's right. And she takes that character through horrible, horrible things before she ever even gets to that point in her life. And just to see that woman's faith, that is absolutely astounding. She did an excellent job of creating the world that character lived in. I wish I knew her name, and I wish I would know the name of the book, but I don't.
We could probably link that when we pop the interview up. I'm using my husband's phone for notes right now, and he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact he doesn't have Goodreads on his phone. Otherwise, I would look it up right now and say something.
I can look it up. Give me one second.
I probably have it in my. I don't want to pooch my email and internet though, because if I do one thing, another thing. Tessa Afshar. She writes biblical fiction. I love her books.
Okay.
I've never read any of hers, but I know who she is, and her covers are stunning. And every time I see them, I'm like, oh, I should pick that up. I mean, I've read some biblical fiction. I'm not as well versed in it as I probably should be, but her cover's always like, I'm like, oh, that looks so good.
Another one of hers that she did was of Rahab, and that one was really good too, because she created the character of Rahab to already have thoughts about this God that she had heard about before she ever met the Israelites. And I thought that was really interesting, that she gave her that longing and that yearning for the one true God before she was ever completely introduced to him or fully introduced to him. So when she saw the Israelites, she goes, ooh, I need to talk to them. And so that's why she was walking them into her home and wanting to protect them, because she didn't like all these multiple gods that they had that they could never please, and these certain things were going wrong. And it was just interesting just to see it from that perspective, because it's easy to put her in a box and think of her as being a certain person because of what she was, the occupation that she had, the circumstances surrounding her, and to go, oh, but God used her. But God had a special purpose for her, and he had a calling for her, and he really was speaking truth into her life before she ever knew completely about him, but she wanted him in her life. And so That was another really interesting character as well.
That sounds super interesting. So I found the book. It's called Land of Silence, and Eliana is the name of the main character.
Eliana. Okay. Thank you.
I literally was like, I Googled because I was like, I don't know, based on these beautiful covers. And I literally Googled her, the author's name, and then woman with the issue of blood, and it came up.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Absolutely. Wow.
Because that's how, like, the common Bible story for that one is told.
Well, plus there was so much, I mean, the Jewish people had at that point, I'm not saying that they are like that now, but at that point they had a lot of almost like superstition that was brought into their faith as well. And so, you know, she was completely ostracized from her family. So the author also made the character ostracized, not just because of her bleeding, but because they believed she was at fault then for the other people who were losing children that were surrounded by her, that if they had a miscarriage, it must be her because she's the one with the problem. And she was so isolated. She was just removed from everybody. And so her desperation for healing was just compounded throughout the book.
Wow. Really powerful. Speaking of books, so what are some other books or authors, which I feel like you've talked about, obviously, Jody and Sarah throughout this, but what are some books or authors that you'd recommend for people who love your books?
Oh, I don't know. I read wide across the board.
Okay.
I read a lot of different genres, so I'm having difficulty actually finding that community of other authors to relate to, because a lot of my books fit in various categories. So with Christian women's fiction is a really broad genre. It's not as narrow. Like for Sarah, her readers are very narrow niche. Same for Jody. I guess if you like Christian women's fiction and you're looking for books that maybe you enjoy the setting of Alaska, you enjoy there's adventure in there, and yet there's spiritual inspiration. So those two are mixed together. I often am paired along with Francine Rivers. When I'm in like a top 10 list, among her novels are usually intertwined through there, as well as Karen Kingsbury. So those are authors that I guess are sort of relatable. And then some of my books are also considered historical because they're based in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And so I also align with other historical fiction. And so there is a, it still depends what type of historical fiction you enjoy. Whether it has a romantic element to it or not, my books aren't really romance.
I can definitely see the Karen Kingsbury comparison for sure. Which I wouldn't have thought of her right off the bat when you said that. I was like, oh yeah, that is kind of the vein that she writes in. That's a good.
The family aspect, the community aspect of it too. Absolutely. And then kind of like these inciting events that happen, you know, something big happening that's kind of like a new beginning or things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Can I say that I'm a little bit unwell the fact that books written in the 80s and 90s are considered historical?
I know, because I was part of that era too.
I kind of like, can't process that. I don't know.
I agree.
Recently I was at a restaurant and the waiter like asked for my ID or whatever, maybe it was at a liquor store, I can't remember, and they literally just saw the fact that it said like 19 and they were like, don't need
that's
to see
it
the rest
that's all
of
they needed
that's all I need.
I was like, I feel old and decrepit the fact that you just saw that and you were like, nope, we're good.
Well, I told my husband the other day, I said, now, you know that verse in the Bible about the older women teaching the younger women? I think I'm the old woman part of it. I'm 48 years old. So I started asking people, what do you want me to teach you? Is there something you want to learn?
I love it.
What do you want to know? I don't know if I know it, but we'll try.
Give the old college try.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Oh, here's another curveball question. Top 3 favorite movies.
Oh, I just watched a really good movie with my son, and it's called Beyond the Mask. I'm not sure if you've seen that one or not. It was really, really good. So I don't know, your kids are too little to watch it. It's a family movie that you can watch with your family. So it's faith, based, and it's American historical, but like it's full of adventure, and it just has a really strong message to it. It was really, really good. So Beyond the Mask, I think it came out maybe within about the last four or five years.
Okay.
That one was really good. I'm not a big movie watcher. I'm like almost movie illiterate, actually. So
that's how I am. And everyone makes fun of me. Like, especially if it's recent, which is probably why I hadn't heard of that. Cause I was like, oh, I don't know. Sometimes I'll know kids movies. Cause if there's like a, honestly, my kids don't really watch much TV anymore. But our middle son broke our smart TV.
Oh,
so we just haven't replaced it. So now they just now they just watch old like VeggieTales DVDs if they ever want to watch something. It's just like whatever. There you go. This is fine. It's easier actually. But periodically, sometimes I'll know if there's like a kids movie coming out because that tends to be the realm that I'm living in. But otherwise, I'm like I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. That's what I just happened to watch with my youngest son not too long ago. But other than that, I haven't watched any movies recently. But we do love The Chosen. And so I'm looking forward to getting to see that when they release it to their app. So that is something that we got started with last year and really liked it. Not much of a... Yes, it's excellent.
My husband and I it feels like we're so behind because everyone is current or much more current, and we are still on season one. But again, that is my fault because I'm a terrible TV watcher. It's just now hit 9 o'clock. I'm starting to feel it a little bit, but usually 9 o'clock I'm like asleep. Like if we're watching something together, I'm passed out. I can't watch anything with you, you just fall asleep. Like, I'm sorry.
That's me. My brain actually turns off at 8 o'clock. And so I was joking with some friends because I saw this video on Instagram of this lady. She's hanging this banner and it said, please leave by 9. And her husband's like, what are you doing? Did you see that? What are you doing? She's like, what? You don't like the color? It's perfect because then everybody knows it's time to go. We don't have to kick them out. And I was talking to my friend Michelle about it. And I said, that's me, especially at New Year's. I'm like worried that people are going to stay really late because I'm ready to go to bed by 9:30. So she made me a sign that I keep it in my entryway and it says, what does it say? It says, please come in, stay a while, but not too long.
Absolutely. That's me. Like, that's amazing. That you're here, but I really would like for you to leave possibly because I want to go to bed.
Yeah. Just sleep. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. I'm more of a night owl. So I feel like I'm more like, but then, you know, with the older I get and the busier life gets, I'm like, yeah, but I don't mind going to bed a little early. Oh, amazing. Morgan, I'm also on season one of The Chosen. So don't
are you? Up. Okay. Well, I feel less bad now.
It gets better and better. Every season just builds on the next. And like in season two, the disciples, they sure argue with each other quite a bit, but that's probably how it really was.
Oh yeah. But
season three was a lot more comical and just, I found it after the episodes, my kids, you know, being teenagers, they're like pulling out their Bibles and they're like, what, did it really say that? Did that really happen then? And so it really made us all really dive into the scriptures quite a bit. So I highly recommend, I mean, we binged it last year. We hadn't even seen any of it. So it's
awesome.
One, you could just sit down and watch a bunch of it all at one time.
But not late at night.
But no, not now. Not now. No.
Not now. I got to start in the afternoon.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Marianne, we're so thankful that you joined us all the way from Alaska to chat about your writing and your books. We'd love for you to tell our listeners where they can find you and where they can purchase your books if they're interested.
Okay, a couple things. If you want to head over to my website, they're at www.mariannelanders.com. There's a couple hyphens in there, but if you just Google my name, my website will pop up. On there is a sample for my latest book. I did do an audiobook for that one. That was the only book that has an audiobook, so there's an option for that. You can listen to a sample of that. You can also read the backstory on my about page of how I shot my first moose and how I started writing. And then you can sign up for my email newsletter. And when you do that, I'll send you a free short story that leads into the new series. And then there's also my book table on there, or you can just go over to Amazon and all my books are available for purchase on Amazon.
I love that. Well, thank you. Amazing. Are you on social at all that people should follow you?
I am on social media, but I just kind of tiptoe around there. I'm not on there a whole lot, but I am on Facebook and Instagram.
Great. Amazing.
Awesome. Instagram, it's Write Alaska, and then on Facebook, it's my author name, Marianne Landers, which is my real name, but I've got other pages there too.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Marianne. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you for bringing joy to Morgan's life with Alaska. And honestly, I'm intrigued. More intrigued than I have been.
So. I'm going to step you guys up on the trip of a lifetime. Yeah.
Yes. I know, it seems that way. Maybe our first podcast trip, Morgan, should be to Alaska. Just saying.
You think I haven't already been planning this? Listen, now I feel like we've interviewed all of the authors of Toke now, or the ones that we know. So I feel like we need to take a podcast trip and do a live podcast recording with Marianne, Sarah, and Jody in Toke, Alaska.
Oh,
that's my God. This is one of my long-term plans.
We'll take you to Chicken.
We could go to Chicken. Oh, yeah.
This is going to be epic.
Let's go.
Pack a chicken sandwich to eat when we get to Chicken and take a picture next to the chicken.
Let's do it. Absolutely, yes.
I love it. Amazing. Well, have a great night. Thank you, Marianne. Appreciate
yeah, you it. Too, Thank ladies. Thank okay. you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode.
Follow us on Instagram at Redeeming Lit Podcast and be sure to subscribe on Apple or Spotify so you don't miss any episodes.
If you have any questions or book recommendations, email us at redeeminglitpodcast@gmail.com.
Until next time,
keep it lit.